The gospel for this morning comes from Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus and the disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. So he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." So for as long as I've been alive, I've been a football fan. And since the day she was born, I've been bringing my daughter along for the ride on this little journey. And so it was that about 2 weeks ago, we were watching Ohio State, my personal college team, going up and routing Rutgers. Now, I apologize. I could not find a picture because the game was such a blowout of Ohio State beating Rutgers, so I had to put up this Ohio State beating TCU picture, and I got booed at the first service for that. It's the first time I've ever been booed in a sermon. But anyway, so we were watching Ohio State play Rutgers, and she walked into the room, and about 2 seconds after she walked in, Ohio State breaks a play down the sideline, and right in the center of the screen, there's a wide receiver just really laying into a block on a cornerback, and all of a sudden, the cornerback is flat on his back, and the Ohio State runner is breaking it for a touchdown, and I'm cheering, going nuts. This is great. It's exciting, and Sophia looks up at me, clear as day, says, "Daddy, tell them to stop hurting each other." Now, on the surface, this is pretty adorable. But as I started thinking about Jesus' words for his disciples and the message that Jesus might have for us this morning, I was wondering, is it possible that my daughter is onto something? Is it possible that when Jesus says, "You have to be, or if you want to be first, you have to be last and servant of all," it would mean that football players should stop pushing each other to the ground? That seems like that would be a good act of service, right? In any other context, it would be inappropriate and unservant-like to push someone to the ground, so should they stop too? Should the quarterback just get the ball and hand it to the defense so as to let them, or be a servant to them and let them succeed? Now, this sounds a little bit ridiculous to us, of course, but at the heart of it, it's this question of how are we supposed to become a servant of all? How do we do this? You know, think about other professions. Think about a lawyer, a prosecuting attorney. Wouldn't it be an act of service for them to just say to all those defendants that come before them, "You know what? I'm not going to try your case. I'm just going to let you go free." Wouldn't that be an act of service? Wouldn't it be an act of service for a teacher to say to their students, "You know what? You just do the assignments you want to do. Don't worry about what I tell you. You just do whatever you want to do." We know this is insane, right? In our hearts, we realize that this is never going to work. It would ruin the sport of football, sport in general. It would have criminals walking all over the streets without any fear of retribution. It would have teachers with students who really, let's be honest, aren't going to learn much of anything. And yet, there are faithful, God-fearing, Jesus-following people in all of these and so many other professions. And so there must be a way. There must be a path for us to answer this question, how do we become a servant and not fail at our jobs? There must be some way for us to do both. And it was in thinking about this that I realized or remembered or was inspired to think about the fact that this isn't the end of Jesus' lesson for us this morning. So the author of the Gospel of Mark very intentionally follows Jesus' words about becoming a servant of all with this little example that Jesus gives, where Jesus brings a child in among the disciples and says to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me." It's as if Jesus is saying, I know that you're asking yourself, how am I supposed to become a servant? So let me tell you, welcome these children. You want to be a servant of all? You want to welcome me? Start by welcoming these children. So we're going to pause with our thoughts about the football player and the lawyer and the teacher for a moment. We're just going to focus just on these kids. Just on what it means to welcome kids into our lives. Because this isn't some hypothetical situation where we're walking down the street and we meet an imaginary family in need. This is a very real and practical exercise for all of us in this community, because every single week we have families with children of all ages, from birth all the way through college and beyond, right? All of these kids coming and becoming a part of this community. And so how do we welcome these children? How do we welcome them when they have been raised in the church from the moment they were born? And how do we welcome them when they're stepping foot in the church for the very first time? How do we welcome them when their home life is this American ideal and everything is perfect? And how do we welcome them when their home life is falling apart? Because if we want to answer that question, how do we become a servant of all? Jesus tells us we start by welcoming the children. And in doing so, we welcome Jesus himself. So this morning, as a parent and as someone who is deeply passionate about passing along faith to the next generation, I offer you my three simple rules for welcoming children. I don't often do this because I find it a little bit cheesy to think that anything can be broken down into three simple rules, but stick with me. There's going to be a broader point here, all right? So three simple rules for welcoming children. Number one, be glad they are here. This might seem simple, but think about it with me for a moment. On any given Sunday, there are any number of other places that families and children could choose to be. And yet, these families and this child has made the conscious choice to wake up, get dressed, put on their shoes, get in the car, pull out of the driveway, pull back in the driveway because inevitably somebody lost a shoe, and still drive to church. That in and of itself is a small miracle and should be treated as such. And so if we, those who are already here, who are welcoming them into this community, start with a deep and heartfelt appreciation for what they are doing just in walking in these doors, then our very presence will be one of welcome. So be glad they are here. Second, encourage their parents. Some of you may remember having small children or not so small children, and you might know that it is not always sunshine and roses. Inevitably, somebody threw up on somebody. Somebody else is crawling underneath the pew. That was my personal favorite pastime as a child. Somebody poked somebody or pulled the hair of the person sitting in front of them, and the parents are horrified because we want our child to just behave. But encourage those parents, because you remember what that was like. Because we know that it's more valuable for that child to be in worship, to be in this place, than it is for them to be somewhere else. So tell those parents that you're glad they're here. Tell them you love seeing their family in worship. Offer to go and get them a cup of coffee while they sit with their child. Offer to go and get their child a busy bag if they don't have one yet. Because when we have parents who feel comfortable and encouraged and welcomed, we will have children who are comfortable and encouraged and welcomed. So encourage the parents. Number three, show them that you care who they are. Talk to the child. Ask them about their day. Find out what their favorite class is in school. If you see them coming out of Sunday school, ask them what they learned this morning. What Bible story did you read about? If they're coming out of worship, ask them if they heard anything interesting in the sermon. Or was there a piece of music that they liked? And then don't be afraid to share your life with them. Tell them what you thought was interesting in the sermon. Tell them what piece of music you enjoyed. Ask them to pray for you when something is happening in your life. You will be amazed at the sense of welcome that comes for a child from simply having adults who are meaningfully engaged in their life. When they walk into a building and they know that there are people who are going to ask them how their week was, that are going to care what their response is to that question, then those children know they are experiencing a community of welcome. So there it is. Three simple rules. Be glad they're here. Encourage their parents. Show them that you care who they are. This is not an all-inclusive list, of course. There's lots of other things that we could do, but it's a place for us to start. To start on this hard work of welcoming children into the community and saying, we are glad that you are a part of this. And in doing so, welcoming Christ. But here's the thing. For many of us, we're pretty good at this. I don't mean to toot our own horn or anything, but hey, we've got a thriving children's and youth ministry here, in large part because for a long time, Lord of Life as a community has been good at this. There's always things we can do better. There are ways we can improve personally and as an entire congregation, but by and large, we're pretty good at this. Which means that we get to take this to the next level. Because see, when Jesus says, welcome the little children, he doesn't just mean the child that's running around the room. He's following in a long tradition of the Hebrew scriptures that would be continued to pass on to the New Testament scriptures as well, of using child as a stand-in to represent all those who have no means to care for themselves. No means to advocate for themselves, no means to protect themselves, those who are the least of society. And so when Jesus says, whoever welcomes one such child, he doesn't just mean the little child in our midst or even the children who are coming into the building. He means whoever welcomes those who society has mistreated, forgotten, and otherwise swept under the rug. Whoever welcomes those welcomes me. This is where it gets a little trickier for us, doesn't it? It's pretty easy to think about welcoming kids in our own building, kids whose parents we know, kids we see week after week. It's a harder practice to welcome those that society has forgotten, those whom society has left on the side of the road, left to fend for themselves, hoping perhaps the problem will just go away. So we get to ask ourselves a new question. Because if we want to become servants of all, we have to figure out how we welcome them. How do we welcome those who society tells us are not worth welcoming? Those who the world would have just forgotten about completely. How do we welcome them? The beauty of this is that these three simple rules, they still work. Be glad they're here. Wherever here is, maybe it's this building, maybe it's the mall, maybe it's the side of the road, wherever it is that you encounter someone that you know has been mistreated by the world, has been forgotten by society, wherever that moment is, be glad that they are there, that God has given you the opportunity to encounter them in that place. Start from a position of simply being glad that they are there. Encourage them, maybe their parents, that might still work, depends on their situation, but encourage them. Because when the world has kicked you in the teeth, when your circumstances have destroyed your world as you knew it, when you find yourself mistreated and forgotten, you're going to need a word of encouragement. You're going to need someone to tell you that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, someone to tell you that there's hope even for you. So encourage them. Show them that you care who they are. Listen to their story. The first step when we're trying to help someone feel welcomed is not to convince them of our position. It's not to regale them with stories of how their life went awry. It's our job just to listen, to let them know we think they are valuable just for who they are, because that's what God thinks. And when we're welcoming them, we're welcoming God. So see, these three little rules, they work great for kids, but they work really well for adults too. And so when we start the really hard work of welcoming all those that society would have us forget, then we go back to that teacher and that lawyer and that football player, and we think to ourselves, you know, maybe the teacher doesn't have to simply let the students do whatever they want. Instead, maybe the teacher can be one who listens to those students who are going through a difficult time, who lets them know that there's an adult who cares about them and who will defend them and who will advocate on their behalf. And in doing so, they become a servant. And for that lawyer who can't just let everyone go free, perhaps it would be enough that she would pursue fair and just punishments for those who are brought before her. That they had walked down a path towards appropriate punishments that move people towards rehabilitation rather than reincarceration. And in doing so, become a servant. And I'll be the first to admit that I would never watch a football game where the quarterback just handed the ball to the defense. That would be ridiculous. But what if a professional athlete risked their career simply to be a voice for those who had no voice? It seems to me that this would be the action of a servant. See, there's a lot of choices that we all get to make. There's a lot of opportunities that we have to welcome others. But it all starts with a realization that we are not the greatest. That was what the disciples were arguing about on the road. It's kind of an aside in Mark's story, but it's an important thing for us to remember here. They were traveling from one place to another, and Jesus said, "What were you arguing about?" And nobody wants to admit it. If you're a parent, you've probably had this conversation with your kids. You know that they were fighting about something, and nobody wants to tell you what. They're arguing about who was the greatest. And then Jesus offers them this teaching, as if to say, stop worrying about who's the greatest. None of you are the greatest. None of you are better than the others. Those of you that are here or those that are not here, none of you are better than another. So stop worrying about who's the greatest and start welcoming them as you would welcome a child. Because when you do that, you're welcoming God. God loves each of you, and I do too.